Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4. Figure we'll play ball this morning since I can't preach too good. No, I'm kidding. You'll understand more in just a moment. Exodus chapter number 4 and verse number 1. There, say amen. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's stand to our feet. You've been seated a while. And we'll stand and reverence God's word as we read it. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Leave your Bibles open after we read. We will be dealing with this whole chapter and a couple others as well. The Bible said, "And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. If you'll look back, the Bible said in verse number 2, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." In verse 3, "And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses, he fled from it. He run from it." That's what I do. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, I know I've got your attention this morning by having this basketball, and it's a softball, but it should be a baseball, and this football. And the reason being, I'm preaching on the subject this morning, what is in thine hand? And in our text, in Moses' hand was a rod. But if I was to hold this football this morning in my hand, it's pretty much worth what it was paid for, or less, actually. It's worthless. I'm not a football player. I probably couldn't make it to you if I tried to throw it. But in the hands of Tom Brady, a football is worth a whole lot of money, millions and millions and millions. And then this basketball, in my hands, worthless. Be really wasting your money to go buy me a basketball. I can't shoot it no more. It's absolutely worthless. I was going to use, if you take this basketball and put it in the hands of LeBron James, but I'm not even going to go there because I don't like him. I don't like him. And anybody who would even dare be so dumb and ignorant to put him in the category with Michael Jordan would just be showing your ignorance. So this in the hands of Michael Jordan was worth a whole lot, actually billions of dollars. But in my hands, worthless. Now, I had to go ask Eddie, who is this baseball in my hands? Now, I'm about to throw this at one of you, so be ready. No, I'm just kidding. In my hands, this baseball is worthless. But in the hands of, let's say who he said, Shohei Ohtani, is that it? Shohei Ohtani, he's a great, I guess, Japanese pitcher in America. Catch, JD. All right. it's worth a lot of money. My point being, it matters whose hand a particular thing is in. And God gives us different gifts. God gives us different tools in life, in the Christian life. What God may put in your hand and allow you to hold and have and handle in your life may not do me any good. But if He's given it to you, He's given it to you for a purpose and a reason. And at some point in Moses' life, God had taken, He had actually taken a sepulcher where He sat in the king's palace, and God replaced that sepulcher with a rod. In the hand, in the text, God said, "What is that in thine hand?" And the Bible said that in His hand was a rod. Now, a rod don't sound like much to me. It's just an old dead piece of wood, a stick, a cane of some sort. But in the hand of Moses, as we will learn and as we have learned in Sunday school and preaching all of our life, the rod in the hands of Moses was able to be used in such a miraculous, powerful way that had he never surrendered that to God to allow God to use it, it would have been a tragedy. We would have no record of the Red Sea parting. We'd have no record of what we just read, where he took that rod and cast it on the ground at the voice of God, and that rod turning into a cobra or a big snake, and then God telling him to pick it back up by the tail, which is a no-no. I ain't picking it up by the head or the tail. But when he picked it back up, it turned back into that rod in front of the people, that the people, not just the Israelites, but that the Egyptians would know that there is a God in heaven who can take that thing that's in your hand or in mine and use it for your good and God's glory and bring others to Christ. A sling, if you'll remember. Well, in my hands, a sling wouldn't do much, but in the hands of David, he was able to take that sling that was in his hand and bring down that giant called Goliath. A jawbone of an ass in the hands of me, I probably could take one or two of you out, but in the hands of Samson, he took out thousands. And so I'm just simply saying, Moses in our text is who we're going to look at this morning. This rod or this staff that's in his hand was used greatly because he was willing to give that over. And I'm going to show you how a tool or a gift from God can work against you or for you. This rod didn't just appear this day in Moses' life. Moses had had this rod for many, many, many years. He had leaned upon it. It had become a crutch for him and to him. It had become something he leaned on. And we're going to see how, rather than leaning on it and it becoming a crutch for him, it became a mighty weapon and a mighty miracle worker in the hands of Moses because he was willing to give it to God and let God use it through him to the people around him. And so, by way of introduction, the context revolves around the call of Moses to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. God called this muttering man, this man who couldn't speak well, this man who stuttered and stammered. God put his hand on him, the most unlikely man. Moses was the last one that anybody would have picked to be the one who would deliver the children of Israel. Even to Moses, Moses made a ton of excuses, and I'll show them and share them with you. But he said to God, "God, I believe you got this one wrong. You're calling me? You calling me to deliver the children of Israel to go speak to Pharaoh? I can't even talk. I can't do this, Lord. I'm inequipped." And God said, "No, I've put my hand on you and I've given you the tools necessary and needed. And if you'll do what I say, I will deliver the children of Israel." Listen to what the Bible said. Keep in mind, Moses is 80 years old. He is a fugitive from Egypt. And the Bible said in Exodus chapter 2, in our chapter 2, verse two chapters prior to, in verses 11, the Bible said, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and he looked that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intended thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard the thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. He's now in our text living on the run from Egyptian bondage. He's on the run, running from the Pharaoh, the highest man in the land, the man who can take his head from him. And now he's living with his father-in-law, Jethro, as we find in Exodus chapter number 3, leading up to our chapter. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. He does not yet appear to be a likely choice for the ministry of delivering the children of Israel. This is a man I just read to you who went out and saw two men fighting, and he slew and killed a man. He killed an Egyptian. So he's a man on the run. And then he's living an obscure life. He's living on the backside of nowhere. And he's tending to his father-in-law's sheep. And God comes to him and says, I want you to go and to deliver my children Israel out of bondage. And don't you know, Moses is thinking, the last place on the planet I want to go is back to where I ran from, to face all my fears. Not only am I unequipped, not only can I not do the job, but I ran from that place for a purpose. I've got a sentence waiting on me back there. That's the last place on the planet I want to go, and that I could be useful to you, God. Pick anybody but me. And so he begins to give excuses and give reasons of why he can't do the job. He says he doesn't feel worthy. And Exodus chapter 3 verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So he says, first, I can't do it. I'm not worthy. Then he says, second excuse. And boy, I know that Moses was a Baptist. Boy, we good at giving excuses. I can't do that. Some preachers say, can you lead the singing? Can you teach this class? Can you park some cars? Oh, no, I can't do that. I've got this wrong and that wrong, and I'm not quite. Listen, you can do whatever. Where God calls, God will equip. That's a promise. God will put the thing in your hand to get the job done. If God wants you to do something, I'm simply asking and begging and pleading. Throw the excuses aside, because, and Moses thought maybe one excuse would get by with God. God, I'm not worthy of this. He was playing, you know, Mr. Humility. But that didn't fool God. That didn't throw God off his game, and neither will our petty, pathetic excuses. God, then Moses said, well, if that don't work, he said, he doesn't even know God's name. He said in chapter 3, verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is thy name? In other words, who are you? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. How many of y'all have heard the songs, The Great I Am Still Is? How many have heard messages preached on The Great I Am? That's where that came from. Moses was giving God an excuse saying, I can't do this. They don't know me. They won't respect me. I don't have the pedigree. And God said, when you go and I give you what you need, you just simply tell and answer them when they say, who do you think you are? You tell them that you are here in the name of the Lord. And when they say, who's your God? Tell them, I am that I am sent you. Not I was that I was. Not I will be that I will be. God said, I am a right now God. Ain't you glad he is? And so that excuse didn't prevail. Then third, he said, the people won't. If I do go and I do tell them who sent me, they ain't going to believe me. Listen to what was said in the chapter we picked up on verse 1. And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is it in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as of his other flesh. In other words, God give him leprosy, then healed him immediately in front of the people. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, then that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. In other words, every excuse Moses is giving, God's got an answer for. And if he had an answer for every excuse that Moses had for why he couldn't serve him, why he couldn't go forward and do what God had called him to do, our excuses ain't going to stack up either. God's going to have an answer for every excuse we give him. I can't witness. I can't give. Lord, you know how broke I am. I can't talk to people. You know how my tongue gets tied. God's going to say, I will help you. I will heal you. I will put words in your mouth. I'll be with you. I will enable you. I will give you power that you never dreamed you had. God will take care of you and prove himself to you over and over and over again. What about, he says, number four, he says that he's not good with words. That's a common excuse we use. Chapter 4, verse 10, and Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? God said, I made you just like I want you. I made you with stammering lips. I made you with a slow tongue. God said, I've done that because God takes the very base things of the world. God takes the people that can't, and he puts in them the power that can, and then they do, and then God gets the glory. Because listen to me this morning, I can't preach. Ain't no way I should be up here delivering the message this morning. There's way more qualified people. There's way better preachers. There's way, way more spiritual people than I. But God, when He puts His hand on you and you're standing in your purpose and you're standing in the will of God, God will empower you to do that He's called you to do. Amen. And He done that for Moses. And so that excuse didn't work. Then He says, send somebody. Listen, Lord, this is the bottom line. I don't want to go. I've given you four excuses already. Just send somebody else. I'll be honest with you this morning. There's been a lot of Sunday mornings. I'd say, Lord, I ain't feeling too good this morning. He'd say, go anyway. Yeah, but Lord, you know, I'd get people sick and... In all reality, I'm just like you are. My flesh just didn't want to get up and go to church. Don't even look at me like you ain't never felt that way. Hello, Tokyo. Y'all out there? You felt that way. Matter of fact, you probably felt that way this morning. Brother Jackie mentioned, which you all know, we've been in Florida for a week. And... you talking about being thankful to be back in South Kakalaki, you better believe this boy is glad to be home. Y'all can have Mickey and his friends. And you can have the humidity that's down there with it. Oh, it felt so good to get home. And so we there in the airport, my heart's pumping like their heart was pumping with excitement to get there. When I get to the airport to fly home, that's when my heart starts pumping. I'm like, praise God, I'm going home. And so I get to the airport and I rush and we go down the gate and I'm the first one in line. And I get to the terminal and I'm like, praise Jesus, I'm almost home, almost home. We have an announcement. Those with this flight, they name whatever flight, your pilot did not show up, so you will have a two-hour delay. You talking about, I mean, this would be the equivalent, and I probably looked it, like one of my daughters, Lola or Laurel, probably Laurel, she's standing in line to see Tinkerbell, like Brother Jeff was, and they told him he wasn't in the circle, so he... got his heart broke, didn't get to see Tinkerbell. That's what he told me before church. He didn't say all that, but but Laurel, imagine waiting an hour or two to get to see your favorite character, and then you get there and they say, sorry, she's going on break. You have to wait two more hours. And I could just see the tears. And when I heard that announcement, two more hours? Before I can get on a plane to get to my bed, back to my little town of Spartanburg, my little place called Packlet, home. I said, okay, 2 hours. We finally, they said, your pilot's here. We get on the plane and we're flying. And I said, I can't quit looking, and I don't got a watch, but I was looking at the phone, looking at the time, and we arrived. I said, Jenny, we're here. We're here. We're back in Charlotte. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where's the keys? Where's the keys? And I saw her eyes begin to grow. I said, where's the keys? Where are the keys? And she just started. You remember Monday, my pocketbook broke. See, my brother drove down and carried all of our luggage, and he was driving back, but he decided to drive by Mar-a-Lago, which is 6 hours on down, and so he wasn't coming back till the next day. And she said, I left that pocketbook in that suitcase that's in his truck in Florida. Well, by this time, keep in mind, it's midnight, or thereabout. What you gonna do? I began thinking, oh Lord. She said, I can call my daddy. I said, no, don't call Roy. It's late at night. No, don't call your daddy. She calls her daddy, and I said, I will call it. I'll rent a car. I'll rent a car. So we get on the phone, rent a car, go all the way over there, and
They say, we're sorry, you're out of state. It was in North Carolina. I said, I'm just one state over, man. I'm just right down the road, an hour down the road. I'll bring you the car back tonight. But let me have a car. Well, if you had a credit card and $500 and this, I said, we ain't got a credit card on us. I'll give you a debit card. I'll give you cash, whatever. Sorry, can't do that. Long story long. But it wasn't as long as my day. I finally got an Uber. I said, I'll get an Uber driver to carry us home. And we were standing there waiting on the Uber driver. Brother Ned, this guy said, I'm an Uber driver. And he said, I'll take you. I said, how much to get me to Spartanburg? $350. I said, no, man, I got it on my phone. An Uber driver's going to do it for $140. He said, okay, $160. I said, no, $140. And he said, well, you'll have to wait for them. And so I said, all right, never mind. And so we wait, and that Uber driver decides they don't want to go drive all the way this far, and another says they're coming. They don't want to. Finally, my African Uber driver shows up, and he's a nice man. And we got about a half mile up the road, and I said, hey, buddy, how much they pay you? Because we didn't have three Uber drivers show up and leave because they didn't want to drive that far. I said, how much they pay you to drive to Spartanburg? $65. I said, how about I give you $100 cash and you get me and my family home? He said, sure. Win-win. So we finally got home about 2:30, 3 o'clock. It was a long day. It was an aggravating day. But I'm telling you, listen, I was ready to get home and I was willing to do whatever it took. Are you hearing me? Why I told you that story, I can't remember where I started. Send somebody else. Next time, send somebody else. I'd just rather stay home. Moses said, I'll give you all my excuses. I don't want to go. Send somebody else. Let somebody else teach the class. Let somebody else preach. So he asked God, send somebody else. He's just excuse after excuse. Finally, after all the excuses, Moses goes down to do what the Lord has told him to do. And chapter 4, verse 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto him, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all that the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them up upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Don't lose that. Moses knew he wasn't going anywhere without that rod. What God gives you, whether it be a gift, a talent, or whatever, you better hold on to and protect it and take it with you wherever you go. Don't lose sight of it. So what God had already done in the life of Moses, God had proven to him, this is the very thing I've proven myself to be true. So now he's on the journey. He finally gets over the excuses, and he's headed back, and he's got that rod that's in his hand with him on his journey back. And so as they return, rod in hand, he said, I see that thou do all the... And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all the wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of his son and cast it at his feet.
feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So he let him go. Then she said, "A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision." And the Lord said unto Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses said, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. What I'm simply saying and what God is saying is when he gives you a gift, he will go before you and make the crooked places straight. All those excuses of "I can't talk," God made sure the talking would get done. He even sent a man that would do the talking for him. Moses said, "I can't go. They won't believe me." We just read. They believed him because he had the tool in the hand that come from the hand of God. I'm saying, in and of our own strength, you will fail. I will fail. I try to mount this pulpit in my own strength, in my own ingenuity. It will come to naught. You try to teach a Sunday school class by your own intellect. It will not have any eternal value. But if you go in the hand of God, if you go while carrying that God has given you, if you've spent time with God alone and God has given you something to share with the people, not only will they receive you, but they will believe you. And God's purpose and plan shall come to pass. And that ought to be the desire of every child of God, that I can be part of God's plan and be used of God to reach other people. I ain't got time to finish this. This is just an introduction this morning, but hear me. Tonight, I want you to come back. I'm going to give you 3 points tonight of how what's in your hand can hinder you or hurt you. Because whether you realize or not, every one of us has something God has given us. Do you know that there was only one man who had the ability and the tool that God had personally issued him to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and that man was Moses? I bet you that the children of Israel was real, real thankful that Moses kept and carried in his hand that staff and that rod that God gave him, because that was the very tool that would go on to deliver them out of hundreds of years of bondage, where they were treated like less than trash. Listen, they were in captivity. They were under the thumb of Egyptian rule. I ain't got time to go into the history of it, but you would be amazed at how bad and how poorly the children of Israel were treated. They were made to work from sunrise to sunset. I mean, they had hard taskmasters. They would beat them. They would enslave them. They would barely feed them. I mean, they were in a terrible, horrible pit of a place. They're in bondage. Does that remind you of anybody? Does that ding a bell of anybody else? And then here comes somebody that had what they needed to deliver them from that, to get them out of Egypt. We too were in bondage at a time in our life. We too were under the clamp of Satan himself. We were under the bondage of sin and the devil. Ain't you glad God sent somebody your way carrying in their hand a Bible or a Bible tract, the truth that had the power to set you free? Thank God. Listen, I know it's Sunday morning. I know you ain't been up long. I know you got things to do, people to see and places to go. But y'all just stop for a minute and look back down through memory lane and thank God thought enough of you to send somebody carrying in their hand something that could get you delivered from the wicked world you lived in. Amen.
I thank God for Moses. I thank God for a man by the name of Tim Fowler who got up and in his hand had a book called the Bible. And he was willing to preach it straight, long and loud. And it pierced my heart to where I could be delivered from Egypt, from sin. If you've ever been saved, that ought to ring true to you. We'll pick up this evening, and I'm just going to share what we're going to talk about, and we'll be done. It's just 3 points. I'm not going to preach them. I'm just going to share them with you. We're going to look at this evening how Moses held his personality in his hand. That rod said a lot about his personality. Then number two, we're going to look at how Moses held not only his personality in his hand, but he held his problems in his hand. That rod was not just showing his personality, but it showed his problems. And then finally, we're going to look at how Moses held his potential in his hands. Right there in his hands was his personality, his problems, and his potential of how God was going to use him, set him free, and set a whole nation free that was in bondage. And if God can do that with Moses, God can do that with me, and God can do that with you. Amen. Let's stand.